95 smog checks and synthetic blend oil changes. Call 702-242-5432. Let our friendly staff know you're friends of the Lodge family. My Auto Service.
Over 50,000 police officers are assaulted on the job each year, leading to injuries and death. This is the reality they deal with when making contact with the public. Another reality is that if someone doesn't comply with a lawful order or uses force against them, police may have to use sufficient force in response to obtain compliance. The use of force is always ugly. Nobody likes it, especially police, and nobody knows how it will turn out. Spread the word. For de-escalation to work, both parties must de-escalate. And de-escalation isn't necessary if there is no escalation. Help police by not escalating. Don't attack or try to disarm an officer, whether it's getting asked a question, getting a citation, or getting arrested. Don't argue. Don't resist. Don't flee. After the encounter has been resolved is the time to address any complaints. Comply now, complain later. Keep everybody safe. This message brought to you by the National Police Association. To learn more about how to help law enforcement accomplish its goals, visit nationalpolice.org.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, this is Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Well, one of the things that we're going to learn probably in the next few hours is what is the deal with the interception that apparently has occurred up north of Alaska, where U.S. fighter jets have intercepted four Russian warplanes near, but not necessarily in, Alaskan airspace. These governments are going to be testing us. Because we were weak in Afghanistan in pulling out of there, because we were weak a week or so ago with the Chinese spy balloon, everybody and their brother, they're going to be lining up to take us on. We're the biggest, the baddest, you know, guy on the block, and what we're going to find is that people are going to challenge us. And it's happening right now. I'm gonna be real honest with you. I think there are folks who don't like us, and it's not just Russia and China. I mean, there are folks in the Middle East that are gonna be ready to challenge the big guy, so to speak. We'll talk about this coming up in our next hour. Also, we're gonna be joined by Scott Hammond, State Senator, Nevada District 18. It is week number two of the 82nd Nevada Legislature. What is going on? When are we going to start making some laws? We'll talk with Scott about that and a whole bunch more as we continue. Well, in fact, I'll get to that coming up in our next hour. Right here on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
Union Strong means bringing jobs into our valley. Union Strong means opportunities for personal growth. Union Strong is fellowship, taking care of one another on and off the job site. Our union has been working hard for the interests of working men and women for decades and will always be there for the communities we serve. Laborers Union Local 872, celebrating 85 LIUNA proud years of justice, honor, and strength.
Home-delivered meals, prescription assistance, utility assistance, disability services. Find resources for seniors in your community. Free and confidential help is here 24/7. Download the app. Text your zip code to 898-211. Call 211. Visit Nevada211.org or chat with a specialist on our website. Get connected. Get help.
This message funded by a grant through the Nevada Department of Health and Human Services, aired in cooperation with the Nevada Broadcasters Association and this station.
Live from the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa Studios.
From the world-famous Las Vegas Strip.
AM 670 KMCQ, Las Vegas.
Locally owned and operated by Kent Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. As Michigan State University mourns the three dead and five injured from a shooting last night, a search continues for answers. Why the gunman went on a rampage and then took his own life.
911 dispatch calls from broadcastify.com capture the mass shooting.
Four or five victims at the time, shooters in the hallway right now.
Campus police say the gunman, 43-year-old Anthony McRae, began his rampage at Michigan State University at an academic building, later moving to the student union.
We have absolutely no idea what the motive was at this point. We can confirm that the 43-year-old suspect had no affiliation to the university.
Governor Gretchen Whitmer calls the shooting a uniquely American problem.
Another place that is supposed to be about community and togetherness shattered by bullets and bloodshed.
Audio courtesy WXYZ. I'm Julie Walker.
The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, says the first U.S. missile fired at an unidentified aerial object over Lake Huron missed the target and landed harmlessly in the water before a second one successfully hit.
So we go to great lengths to make sure that the airspace is clear and the backdrop is clear out to the max effective range of the missile. And in this case, the missiles landed harmlessly in the water of Lake Huron. We tracked it all the way down. And we made sure that the airspace was clear of any commercial or civilian or recreational traffic.
Pentagon officials met with senators for a classified briefing on the shootdowns. Lawmakers conveyed concerns from their constituents about a need to keep them informed and came away assured the objects were not extraterrestrial in nature. A mixed day on Wall Street as the Dow was down by 156 points. The Nasdaq, however, rose 68. The S&P 500 down 1. Oil dropped $1.08 to $79.06 a barrel. More on these stories at townhall.com.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance. For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-940-6161. That's 1-800-940-6161. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-940-6161. SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercials.
Guys and gals, by now you know there are non-invasive and minimally invasive medical solutions to hair restoration without side effects, right?
No.
Okay, so you don't know. Doctors of Hair use only clinically proven treatments, from platelet-rich plasma hair therapy that uses your own platelets to stimulate stem cells deep in your hair follicle to halt hair loss and regrow hair, to the FDA-cleared clinical hair restoration laser that's proven to regrow hair, to neograft hair transplants that offer discreet, natural-looking results in a week or less with no linear scarring. All of these services are administered by Doctors of Hair caring medical professionals, experts at understanding how devastating hair loss can be at any age. Treatments work for both men and women wanting a natural, thicker head of hair without side effects.
Doctors of Hair, call now, 702-751-0086. That's 702-751-0086 or online at doctorsofhair.com.
Doctors of Hair, now you know.
It's 2:04. This is your KMZQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. There were lots of scoring in Super Bowl 57, but the betting was down at Nevada Sportsbooks. The betting handle for the Silver State was $153.2 million. That's down about 15% from just a year ago. That's when bettors wagered nearly $180 million. Nevada's 185 sportsbooks won $11.3 million on the big game. Not from yours truly, that's a different story. A win percentage of 7.4%. Now, with Super Bowl 58 being played next February at Allegiant Stadium, local betting experts say they do expect Nevada sportsbooks to easily shatter the state record. The man behind the wheel of a U-Haul truck which drove onto a New York City sidewalk, killing one and injuring seven others, is a former Las Vegas resident. 62-year-old Wang Soar had been arrested several times here in the state of Nevada for stabbing people, including his own brother, and he had undergone evaluations of mental health issues. KMCQ satellite weather, there is a wind advisory in effect. Rain showers today, a high of 56, a low of 31. It's 38 degrees right now.
KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Right now, get a basic oil change for only $29.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
Do expect a little bit of congestion as you try to work your way through the downtown Spaghetti Bowl. Interstate 515 northbound at Main Street. And do look out for crashes northbound Town Center. That's at Hualapai. Southbound Durango at Twain. And Karen at Eastern.
Mr. President, it's time to get to work. Surely we both agree that the national debt is too high.
That's enough.
Surely we both agree that inflation hurts American families.
Check it out.
Surely we can trim waste and streamline programs to make them both stronger and more efficient. Congressional Republicans are ready to act to save our country and to make America stronger.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
So good to have you with us. This is week two of the 82nd Nevada Legislature, and a guy that's been right smack dab in the middle of the action is State Senator from District 18, Scott Hammond. Scott, how are you enjoying your stay in Carson City in this, your second week?
You know, Kevin, if you don't enjoy every single day of your life, you're doing something wrong. And so I try to find the good in everything. It's cold, yes. It is cold up here, but it's cold down there too. My kids are sending me videos of the snow up in Centennial Hills. So enjoying it, enjoying the people around me, and trying to enjoy the process. I think you have to try and enjoy things. You can always be a fighter and still enjoy the things that you're surrounded around.
How is this different? This is not your first legislative rodeo. You've seen this before. Is there anything different, including the fact that we have a Republican governor?
No, but I think that's the most important difference. The last 4 years, session 2019-2021, we had a Democratic governor, and then we also had majorities in the Democratic Party in both the Assembly and the Senate. That made it much more difficult, right? Much harder because you basically just trying to prevent a lot of bad legislation, trying to do your best and talking with legislators that were ready to talk about good policy above politics. This is a little bit different now because you've got a governor who can be the backstop. He can take bills that do come to him that are really egregious and veto them. And then all we have to do is sustain the veto. We've got enough in the Senate to sustain the veto. They don't have enough in the Assembly, at least. But in the Senate, we have enough to sustain it. And that what that does is it just kind of forces everybody to talk about the policy, you know, look at the bill, each bill, and talk about what is good, where can we compromise, what can make the bill better. Where, you know, that way, when a bill comes out, we all kind of agree this is going to tackle the problem and mitigate the amount of politicking that goes on and bringing the politics into the building, you know, trying to reduce that. And that's why I think there's a big difference because of that.
With Governor Lombardo in the governor's chair, are there Democrats that are willing to talk with you, or at least, if not negotiate, at least communicate?
All the time, yeah. There's absolutely there are Democrats on both sides in the Assembly and the Senate that are ready to sit down and talk about good policy. And for the most part, most of us we sit around, we talk, and we try to figure out what would be good. I mean, there's a couple of bills right now that I think are not very good bills. I can't remember the numbers, but one of them that pops up on my mind is the I think it was introduced today on the floor, and I think it's Senator Harris's bill, the homeless Bill of Rights, you know, basically giving, and I have to read the whole bill, but you know, an overview of the bill, basically giving people the right to you know, squat on your land, or you know, if they need something from you, or it gave people it was just a little bit disconcerting. So I'm hoping that she's going to talk to us and say, okay, what can we do to change the bill to make this you know, palpable for you guys, because you know, there are still things called private rights, or you know, private, everybody has private property, and I think that we need to still agree to the part of the property rights. And so that'll be an interesting bill, because I don't think that if it goes through the way it's written, and I have not read the whole thing yet, I can't imagine the governor signing that bill. So that'll be a big test.
I want to ask you about one bill, and I've had email correspondence on this over the course of the last week or so, and I just had a call today off air from a listener who wanted to at least have you or Stavros Anthony or somebody like that look into this. SB 49, it deals with the emission standards that would end up having Nevada essentially model the People's Republic of California relative to being able to sell cars, you know, that are not electric after, what, 2035 or something like that. Have you seen that bill yet? I know it's been talked about. I don't know if it's been filed yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen the bill yet. I don't know if it's going to be on the Assembly side or the Senate side. So I don't know where it's coming from. I've heard about it because I remember when it came out in the news about what California was doing. There's a great example, right? Here's a bill that is still definitely more towards the, you know, this is the political side, right? There's an agenda. They're bringing that agenda in. Some people might argue that it's really not agenda. It's, you know, we really need to have this for the future. The reality is it's probably not, as written, a great bill. It's probably, you know, not what we would like. And so that's a great mile marker for me. I'm trying to figure out if these people are serious about their policy. If they are, they're going to sit down and talk to both sides. Here's where some of my colleagues are. Some of my Democratic colleagues, some of my Republican colleagues, they're all about policy, right? So they want to sit down and talk about what is good. Let's look at the numbers. Let's look at the data. Let's look at what we can, you know, try and talk to people about. What is good policy? Nobody has, not one side has a monopoly on great ideas. And so where we have been over the last 4 years is that, you know, a lot of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle could, you know, they can get anything through. They could shove everything through. They could ramrod anything through. They had the power, the numbers. They had all that. And so in some cases they did. And what they did is they ran into problem after problem in some cases. There are several problems that would arise because no one was there they didn't check their work, basically. They didn't get ideas from the other side. I have a colleague that she was always checking in with us. She always said, you know, what do you think about this bill? It's healthcare. I'm not a big healthcare person. She'd bring it to my colleague, Senator Hardy, who's, you know, a doctor, and she'd say, what's wrong with this bill? What, you know, what are some unintended consequences I'm not seeing? I mean, she was working the bill. She was making sure she understood that the policy will withstand time and the scrutiny and the rigors of the industry that it was supposed to be helping out and the people that it's supposed to be helping out. And she did a fantastic job of that. And she passed all of her bills except for one. And for the most part, they were compromised bills that she worked with her colleagues on the other side of the aisle, because she got good ideas from them. And that was when they were in the majority in everything and she could have passed anything through. And she checked. And that's good legislating.
Where are we in the legislative path? Are we to the point where bills now are going to committee? Are we going to be in a position where the full state Senate will end up voting on bills? Are we to that point?
Yeah, so we had one bill yesterday that we actually sent over to the governor. So we had the first day was Monday, right, the 6th of February. On Wednesday, the Commerce and Labor Committee met, and we passed a bill out of committee that day. And that bill, I want to say it's SB 32, that bill was heard for the third time yesterday, and we passed it off the floor, and it should be going over to the Assembly. And the bill basically I like to call it it allowed the state of Nevada to send out contract or basically send out an advisement. Basically, they're trying to hire companies to transport, transport felons from one state to another. And so they have a company that they contract with. They wanted to open it up to several bids and, trying to get some competition in there. So it was really a bill to help out with that. We passed it out yesterday. And so it's on its way. We don't see too many bills right now because it's slow. We're introducing bills. We're introducing bills every single day. Probably 10 to 12 bills a day are being introduced and then sent off to different committees. We're starting to have hearings. I think I'll either have a hearing this Thursday or next Tuesday on one of my bills already. So we're starting to see the process churning right now and getting bills out. We're busy right now dropping on the secretary's desk all the bills that have been written for us. We're just in the process of getting all that done and making sure that all the T's are crossed, all the I's are dotted, and we're putting them on the floor and introducing them every day.
Who's going to end up filing a bill relative to voter ID? We came up with some numbers in some recent polling. 74% of Nevada voters say they support voter ID. In an election, that would be a landslide. Can you talk a little bit about who's going to be carrying the flag for voter ID?
I don't know for sure. I think Senator Stone said that he had the bill for that. So on our side, I think it was Senator Stone. On the Assembly side, I'm not sure. I don't know how many different legislators, how many in the Assembly have it. But to your point, I think you're absolutely right. There's enough momentum on this. And because you have the governor, where you have the governor, and that we have him this session, I think that there's enough there's enough momentum on this that we could actually get something done. And quite frankly, I would imagine that my colleagues on the other side, this is one of those issues that we can come up with some compromise on. I think that there's enough people on both sides of the political spectrum down there, that the person walking on the street, business owner, the homeowner, there's enough people on both sides everywhere on the political spectrum that says we need a compromise here. We need to ensure that there's integrity in that system, that there's some reliability, and that that people really feel there's a faith in the system. And so I think it behooves everybody. I know that some people are saying, well, what do the Democrats have? They don't want to change anything. They keep winning all these elections. I'm like, I get it. They do. They keep winning. They keep trouncing us in certain areas. But when you mentioned that there's 74 to 75% of the people think that there's got to be some sort of voter ID, that tells me that there's enough momentum. And I've heard that this isn't the first time I've heard that. I've heard it from several different kind of polls that are out there. I really believe this is an issue that we both parties need to be looking at and find some common ground. And I think that there's a compelling issue there that would push my colleagues to the table.
More coming up from State Senator Scott Hammond from District 18. He is live with us from beautiful Carson City. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
The revolution is being broadcast. Wayne Allen Root, this afternoon, 3 to 6, on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
The showroom at South Point presents Forever Fab, a tribute to the Beatles. And I do appreciate your Plus, a musical journey through the 60s with 60s Mania. You'll love the music and the memory. February 17th to the 19th. Tickets at the box office, online at southpointcasino.com or charged by phone. 702-797-8055. Forever Fab. Plus, 60s Mania at the South Point.
My Auto Service, serving Las Vegas since 2009. The Lodge family's offering $14.95 smog checks and synthetic blend oil changes. Call 702-242-5432. Let our friendly staff know you're friends of the Lodge family. My Auto Service.
My whole identity had been wrapped up in being a soldier. To have that so violently ripped from me when I was wounded, I was lost for a very long time. When Wounded Warrior Project came into my life, being around the other warriors, people that had similar experiences that I did, it was a game changer for me. Having King join the group, that was the beginning of a really good friendship.
It's a good time.
I first heard about Wounded Warrior Project through CQ. And at first I was kind of like, I don't know if I qualify. But having been a part of it, it's kind of taught me that it's not just the wounds that you can see, but it's those that you can't.
When you do something like a peer support group with Wounded Warrior Project and come together from different walks of life, man, the growth is incredible. If not for Wounded Warrior Project, I really don't think that I'd be here today.
See how we help warriors combat stigma at woundedwarriorproject.org/combatstigma.
Hey there, I'm Lance Bass, and this is Chip. For more than 100 years, American Humane has been on the front lines protecting animals in times of crisis. From Pearl Harbor to 9/11, the California wildfires, and the coronavirus pandemic, American Humane Rescue has provided life-saving assistance for animals in virtually every major national disaster. If you're anything like me, your pets mean the world to you. And if disaster strikes, you want to keep them safe. To prepare for an oncoming disaster, ensure your pet has secure and up-to-date identification. And if you must evacuate, remember to take your disaster preparedness kit with you. To learn more about disaster planning and how to keep your best friends safe, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
In Nevada, anything that goes into the storm drain goes directly to our local waterways, which can pollute Nevada's lakes and rivers. Nevada is the driest state in the nation, and we must work together to preserve our limited water resources for future generations of Nevadans. Here's some waterway wisdom so you can help do your part. Scoop your dog's poop, bag it, and discard it. Clean up yard waste and grass clippings. Wash your car at a car wash or on grass or gravel. Apply pesticides and fertilizers sparingly in your yard. Safely dispose of household chemicals. Clean up leaks and spills. And don't litter. Secure trash in bins. Keep contaminants out of our storm drains. Use waterway wisdom. And remember, only rain should go into the storm drain. Join us in preserving Nevada's waters for future generations by visiting loveenvywaters.com and following us on social media.
This message funded by a grant through the Nevada Department of Transportation, aired in cooperation with the Nevada Broadcasters Association and this station.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
One of the great things about Live and Local is that news is happening all around us. It turns out, The Hill has been reporting over the course of the last hour that our military warplanes, U.S. military warplanes, have intercepted four Russian warplanes near but not necessarily in Alaskan airspace. And apparently this is something that happens all the time. Am I right on that, Jim?
Yeah, I'm reading the article here from The Hill, and NORAD officials say that this kind of activity occurs, or it has since 2007, about six or seven times per year. Now, the good news on this is these Russian aircraft, you know, kind of like the war games that we see in Top Gun kind of thing. That's the visual that I got.
Flip them the bird.
Yeah. but it was in international waters, so they were not in Canadian or U.S. airspace when they were intercepted. So they just do this, apparently.